Wait, I'm going to ask if I agree with the other points you made. Tell me.
Yeah, I won't put you by spot with that because some people could be very vindictive. You know, I have to speak out about this place.
Let me tell you what I think now. I think that we are in 2020 and men, according to you, were around first and men were having their day every day for century one, century two, century three, century four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, all back in King Henry day, century 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And 17, century 18, century 19, take century pain, 20. Please. And now in century 21, a couple years in, somebody decides to give attention to a gender that has not been getting the requisite attention. You're telling me that there should be a day for the people who were in charge for 20 centuries?
Oh, wait.
Is that what you are telling me, sir?
Hold on. Can you listen?
I'm listening to you. You asked me my thoughts, and I shared with you my thoughts.
I can share my other thoughts with you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had these things for centuries going on, but were we recognized?
Listen to me. Let me put it in Beijing terms. One of the running things, setting policy. Setting policy and doing all kinds of things at the detriment of the women. So if anybody is in the vanguard of the women, you're not telling me you won't give a day to the men. That, my friend, is what my response is to you.
Look, can I say something?
Sure.
Look at Mother's Day. Compare Mother's Day with Father's Day.
But sir, but how you get cross day? How you get from what you call it? No, that is diametrically adjacent. Not even in front of. The two don't relate.
When you use that big word to me, some people are pretending to understand and applaud.
I'm just saying that you are in two different pages talking from two different books. You ain't even from one leaf to a different leaf. That's all I'm saying.
Sometimes I like to skip pages, right? It's all related. Right? Mm-hmm. A month before the actual Mother's Day, sometimes maybe 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You see all the ads and everything. You get transport. We have a big thing for Mother's Day. What do we get? Sometimes you get three buses is so much. Hardly anything. Hardly any place. You know what you see all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're just a worthless thinking father. Mm-hmm. I have never heard a man tell any child, you like your worthless mother. But it's common that, you see, you know the problem is, and they really scared me, you know the problem is, we don't speak out. And if we don't speak out, the true statistics will never be known. Women, on the other hand, is all for murder. So their statistics are known, but ours are not. That's all our men about this business, get brutalized by women. But you know when they're going to talk? Because men like themselves can laugh at them and don't support them and make fun of them. Even the law. You know how many laws can go against men? We men talk about that too. You talk about how we've been doing this and all that. Who made the laws to disadvantage men? Men of themselves. Don't forget Adam and Eve and Samson later. The good book said to talk about that, not me here. God met man first. He was there by himself. He obeyed God's rules. I wasn't basically saying that kind to women. Most barbarian men are not down there since neither. I didn't there by himself. And as if along everything that God said, I don't do.
That's not true. I find you know good well. I know as we wrap this call up, my only response to you would be that they communed with God for some time, you know. She didn't just come along and then ate an apple. There was life, there was communion, there was relationship, there was love, there was experience, there was all of those things.
But I don't follow the rule. I went east, I went counter to the
I will respond to that off ear, not on ear. All I would say is that we have choice. That's one thing God didn't take from us, and we make decisions. Sometimes not always in our best interests. That's all I would say. But thank you for your enlightening call. And I would respond from another point, just really to set things in context. Only yesterday, I had the privilege to be a speaker, co-speaker at the ICBL's Women Interest Network event. And it was held in celebration of International Women's Day. And it was actually brainchild of a man, their CEO, Mr. Jeff Scott, and he saw the organization predominantly females and wanted to bring their interest and create a bigger network, etc., and to raise awareness of the work that women do, etc. And it's a very good intervention by a man, and the women were so blessed, not only yesterday, but the many other days that they would have participated, and I commend him. I always make the point that I'm not a feminist. I know some feminists aren't very pleased when I make a statement like that, but I'm really in the vanguard of us living good lives. And yes, the statistics show that our women suffer, our women have not been afforded certain rights, and of course we would want to ensure that women receive good rights and that they're taken on board as making the same, and not same, but making a good contribution, just like men can make a good contribution. And that is a whole another debate that can come out of that type of discussion. But thank you for sharing your thoughts. This is Dr. Brad Stacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gill.
Good afternoon.
I have three questions. First, You know, you was talking to a young chap about Bible still open for business.
Yes.
And you say that if you stop certain things, the prime minister will be able to travel. But what do they have technology? Can she use Skype to do her meeting? She don't need
not
need
just her.
To
I wasn't. I said it using her as the reference. I was just using the fact that she traveled. But I was making the point that in business, people wouldn't be able to get out and people wouldn't be able to get in. So not only
but
about
she can
her
use
person.
Skype. She can use Skype and do the and you know and hold meetings. Another one. The Vincent girl that came from UK, did she stop up in Barbados or she had a direct flight to St. Vincent that was tested positive?
I don't know her, you know.
I just asked the question.
I did hear that they did pass. While it was in transit and they didn't get off the plane, that she did come to the shores of Barbados and then exited and went to...
I just asked the question.
Was the other question.
My last one. Mm-hmm. You remember Professor Howard... And Professor Don Marshall said to the PM, it was difficult to see government to the IMF target.
Say that again? Sorry? It is difficult to see?
The government meeting the target of 6%, the GDP. You remember Professor Howard?
Not only
and
them. It is difficult. I can say that too. Because that means that it's going to be a real serious fiscal consolidation. There's going to be some retraction in terms of expenditure. Government is going to have to do a lot to meet that target. Based on their suggestion, what are you saying?
But that didn't have nothing to do with the coronavirus yet, though.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
Oh.
Because it was an audacious goal. It was a big goal that meant that all hands, according to the same prime minister, would have to be on deck and that many people would have to bear some pain in order for us to get to that particular goal.
Right, because I hear now on the radio that if the Prime Minister asking the begging IMF now to give she, you know, more time, but this ain't had nothing to do with the 6%, ain't had nothing to do with the coronavirus.
Okay.
That was something different.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have to say.
thanks so much for sharing your thoughts and asking your questions. This is Dr. Brad Stacks. You're on the air. Listen to your phone, not your radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You can hear my radio?
I could hear a little piece of it at the beginning of the call.
I got it lowered down a little bit.
Okay.
Ma'am. I said, greetings to you, ma'am.
Greetings, sir.
Greetings to the listeners and to your, I don't know her name.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but good afternoon.
Michelle Brathwaite.
All right. Greetings, Michelle. All right.
Salute. She saluted you.
Okay, ma'am. I'm not preaching this morning, though. My contribution now is about the COVID-19, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like our citizens not to be driven into fear.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fear is a snare, right? Mm-hmm. And the snare is a trap. And this fear of this virus can entrap you and make you feel defenseless. It can also weaken your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make you know more vulnerable to the virus, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And just rationing the supermarket and buying out everything. That isn't going to stop anything, you know, just buy what you need to buy and relax.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to be more preventive. Because if I have a cold or something, so I would try not to endanger other people. And then I see in the paper, they believe it's today, they show the symptoms that might cause you to have or might be alert.
Give you reason to think that something is right.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right. I want to have those symptoms. Call the number, I think it's 436-45-00. Right, or 536-45-00. But you don't rush out to the clinic or get board buses. You know what I mean?
Put more people in harm's way, basically.
Exactly. You mm-hmm. see, we work together on this virus. You don't need to panic. Look, ma'am, I got to get out the clinic in April. And, you know, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not maybe about that. And I get around people who might necessarily be sick. But I was just, I still got to go. But then I imagine I get to go there.
Mm-hmm.
The clinic ain't coming to me. All right?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure as a man of the cloth, not necessarily of the cloth, but a man of God, that you're also praying for not just the country Barbados, but for a quick resolution to this pandemic.
No, I can say something to you that might sound rather off.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, ma'am, it didn't make no sense to pray for something that prophesied to happen, you know. You understand?
I don't know. You tell me.
Pray for God's kingdom to come. The kingdom is what will solve this problem.
Right, but even in your prayer, sir,
yes.
Aren't you praying for God's kingdom to come?
Exactly. You know, that is the prayer about. I mean, what you say is all right. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But a person said, I pray to God and hope I don't get this virus.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Not just selfish prayers like you don't get the virus, but that the spread would be reduced, that the impact on the respective economies would not be so severe, and all the attendant challenges that can come with the COVID-19 across. So if we look at the front page of today's Nation, where we see blood red across the seven regions and just a few white spaces, suppose everything is red. How could this interconnectivity that we have as a world be impacted? And then the fall off in that. Look at the restaurateurs and many, many businesses, the manufacturers and all those in China and all. And a whole country, Italy, has shut down.
Yeah, I know that. It's having a devastating effect.
So if we were to, you know, I wouldn't say fast forward 3 days, but this is a hypothetical situation, or 3 weeks. Suppose it had come on our countries. Look at what's going on very close to us in Jamaica, where they've shut down schools. Now, if they shut down, think about it. You have a population of 1.2 million people, and you shut all the schools down. The people can't leave their 7-year-old's home, so they have to find daycare or some kind of care. And then if they lose their jobs, then they don't have the capacity to pay for normal things. And it impacts significantly. And then if you can't work, if you have to shut a business down because people aren't coming, then the profits are reduced and you can't really provide the same levels of employment. So it doesn't only impact workers, it impacts businesses, it impacts across. So this is a real situation that you should pray about. I'm not saying that, you know, this was prophesied and therefore, because you know wars were prophesied, but you still got to pray for the countries like Iran and the other places where they're having some challenges.
Yeah, we know that, ma'am.
Okay.
You understand? But what I'm saying is, when Jesus said a prayer, right? He said
mm-hmm.
a prayer.
That my kingdom comes.
He meant, no, I understand that, but he also meant his request to his Father He said, I pray for this. I do not pray for the world. Okay? So Jesus is
asking. I didn't hear that, no?
He said, when he said in, I can't remember which gospel it is. He said, Father, I pray for these his disciples because they were in the world.
Because he was specifically praying for disciples, but you also pray for persons in the world that they may come to know and see the light.
That is that part.
Right.
When you ask for the world that, like, in the sense that the believers don't do this and the believers don't do that, I cannot do that.
Okay. We just have different perspectives because I would still not want the virus to impact and kill out people just because they don't know Christ or wanting to come to know Christ. But we can have that other discussion. I'm hearing a faint little bit of music, which tells us that Starcom Network News is about to come. We will hear our lunchtime latest. So Down to Brass Tacks, remember we're going until 1 p.m. Down to Brass Tacks, remember we're going until 1 p.m. today. We have a full board and lots of WhatsApps. We go to the phone lines.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon to you all. This is your colleague, Corey Lane, just calling me for a quick interaction, just to give listeners an update on what we're looking at doing for this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the major topic on the lips of many Barbadians and those across the world continue to be the coronavirus, the COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually putting together a program of we understand there pockets of panic out there, and there are
Corey, your line seems to be you're dropping out. Of all the callers you would call here, I mean, having a dropout call? What's going on? I'm not hearing you. Put down the callers back. Thanks so much for sharing with us what's happening on Sunday, but we're not hearing you well. Corey, I can hear pieces of you, so please put down and call back before we get to 1 p.m., okay? Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air? Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Looking like a full board is coming down to like four calls. Down to Brass Tacks? Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon.
Out of Mr. B's contribution, you said you would have to say what you had to say off the air. Is that what you said? And you laugh. I understand what you said, and I understand that you wouldn't be able to say what you want.
No, I mean, I will have a nice conversation with him off air on a matter that is has so many dimensions to it.
It may not be airworthy, but let me say, they have a lot of males who are lions when they leave home, but when they get back home, they are mouses, or they become a mouse or a mice. It's because they don't want to jeopardize their sexual relationship with their partners. And this is always the case where men will have to accept what a lot of situations they find themselves in because their sexual situation may be reduced and curtailed and prohibited. And that is why that these things will happen to us men. I went through that during my lifetime, so I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
All right?
That's an interesting perspective based on the conversation. But again, as I said, a whole lot of responses and discussion can be had on that subject. Dr. Brass Tacks? Good afternoon.
Hello.
You're on the air, yes?
I am on?
Yes, you are. Loud and clear.
Oh, I am calling to find out if there is some kind of sanitizing property that a flexed elbow has.
You're trying to find out what properties?
A flexed elbow. Can it sanitize a cough or a sneeze?
No, it can't.
So why a flexed elbow?
If you want to touch, to reduce the elbow, you can't get your elbow in your mouth. So normally if you shake a hand, your hand, you're going to scratch your nose, you scratch your eyes, you can pass germs on quicker. But if I just touch you with my elbow is not going to touch my face at any point. I believe that's the thinking behind it.
Oh. Okay, I was just wondering.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I think Corey is on the line again. He hasn't called back. He wanted to share with us some updates on what's happening on Sunday. Dr. Bastax, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I'm calling about this immigration thing. I mean, like, these people and the government give me no contracts to these contractors, right?
If government is giving contracts
to these private contractors.
Private right? contractors. You're yeah. talking about the call that we had our first caller about the...
No, I'm talking about one that I'm saying how they're taking the Guyanese, right? Mm-hmm. And then they ain't got no work permit and employing them and not giving the business no works.
That government is doing this?
No, I'm not saying the government. I said employ the contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they don't get the business no work, but they come and employing Guyanese and some that ain't got no work permit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To come and talk about it. Right? And make it spread out with business. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know how come, right? I would like the government to do something about this. I mean, the contractor, because I cannot understand how come people that just come here for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months to come and get work. Mm-hmm. And they got no permit. But people that are here, that live here permanently, that are born here, can't get no work.
Okay. Yeah, that one is ticklish. So, the scenario is that there are people who allege that non-nationals get work over Bajans, and they argue that that's not fair. And then the caller, the very first caller, talked about notices in the press where people are saying if you have an objection, you go to the immigration department. But they believe that there are Barbadians who can, in fact, take some of these positions, but the companies are not willing to take them on board because they have their persons already. So it's an interesting discussion. I'm very aware, though, that the CARICOM skill certificate is a must-have if you are a non-national working in one of those trade areas.
Yeah.
For sure. So it would be wise for those contractors to ensure that their employees have the requisite permission or permits so that they can work. But in some instances,
the employees got a work permit, right? Mm-hmm. There's people that ain't got none to get work too.
Right, I heard you. That's what I'm saying. I'm asking that they ensure that the employees that they have are permitted to work, both national and non-national.
Yeah, because the one that was working, this fellow was going to work. And people here weren't working, can't get none. And he ain't got no permit.
How you know he ain't got no permit? You saw all of his documentation?
Yes, sir, I know.
No, but how do you know? You're not telling to say you know you got a hitch. You got a hunch.
I ain't hearing nothing. You're saying that I know for a fact.
Okay. You know for a fact he doesn't have a work permit, but he's working. So what you are reporting to the immigration department?
I call him because if you report to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
They ask me what part you're working on and anything.
Right, but you have to give them the details. How you expect them to just assume that a worker of those 45,000 employees in Barbados are, you know, what, which one? They have to know the workplace so that they can investigate.
But how can I? How if I don't know the workplace, but I know you're working?
Wait, that mean you already got the details, but you're so sure.
listen.
You I don't have sufficient details.
Don't say so.
Okay.
It's just because I don't want.
Understood. You don't want. Okay. But I suggest and encourage you to call the immigration department if you know about something that is not being done as it should. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with us and indicating that you are aware of instances. Dr. Brastax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Miss Gail.
Good afternoon.
I just want to say that we feminists are not anti-man.
Very much so.
If it wasn't for the suffragettes, women would never have got the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Women have to stick together mm-hmm. and fight for their rights. And that is all the feminists have done. Mm-hmm. And so for people to make derogatory terms about us mm-hmm. is very hurtful, because what we are doing mm-hmm. as feminists is fighting for our rights. We don't want a quarter of the pudding. We don't want an eighth. We want our share, which is exactly half. And that is what being a feminist is all about. It's not anti-man, and it is not anything derogatory. We are all women who want what we know to be women's rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much. But what I would say, I am not disagreeing with anything you're saying. What I would say, and there are some, and I mean, this discussion is a pretty interesting one. I wouldn't like to suggest that the feminists that I know are anti-man, because I'm not a feminist, for sure. I did have a colleague who told me, but Lisa, all women are feminists. They all were, you know, and I said to her, kinda, but not in the truest sense of the word. There are different schools of thought within the feminists, in the feminist movement as well. Some go even farther than others, but as you rightly said, women who are in the vanguard of other women who look out for women's rights are not anti-man by any stretch. They're just ensuring that they get a piece of the pie. So I do hear you, and I agree with that perspective, but I do also say that I happen not to be a feminist. Not that I am saying that feminists are anti-man or anything like that. And we do have a lot of women who continue to suffer, both at the hands of men, but also because of what society dictates they should either not participate in or not benefit from. And that is an unfortunate thing that affects our women across the globe. Fortunately, for some of us in the Western Hemisphere, we don't have to fight for some of the same rights that others do. So, for example, if you happen to be an employee in the Barbados Civil Service, there's no differentiation between males and females when it comes to payments filling the same post. But we have seen evidence in this very Barbados where women who hold positions do not get the same benefits that men who hold the same positions, and I dare say sometimes they don't do as much as some of the same women. They themselves get higher pay by virtue of their being a man. And that is unfortunate. But yes, it is a rich discussion that has quite a bit of talking that we can have and discussion we can have about it. Thank you so much for those calls. The time is upon us. We are approaching 1 p.m. and we have to get ourselves wrapped up. We can't take those last calls. I know at one point I did have plenty of WhatsApps, but I had to leave the room to come back. So another time. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is actually 2 minutes before 1 p.m. I want to thank Mrs. Michelle Brathwaite for assisting me in the studio, and for all of those callers who called, for all those listeners who continue to listen but do not call. Thank you so much for making Brass Tacks what it is. Do have a wonderful weekend. Down to Brass Tacks.